This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Nancy Mitchell is here. She teaches at Salisbury University in Maryland, and her latest book is The Out of Body Shop. Here's Nancy with a poem.
The past. If we have to bring it up, we'll need gloves. Latex pulled, elbow high, a mass. Gas, safety glasses. We'll take it outside, spread the decades in the sun, burn off the mold, the stink.
Now, I like that very much because it speaks about poetry. And it says to us, what are the risks that we take when we talk about the past? What are the risks, Nancy?
I think the risks are always there of maybe bringing up things that are uncomfortable for us to look at. And I think the risks are that we may offend someone. And I think there's a sort of this guilt with it in a way because, you know, we're a culture of get over it, get beyond it, as if, you know, we could.
Well, what would happen if we didn't take the risk in poetry? What would happen?
I think poetry would be dull. Mm. I don't think that we would have the kind of poetry that makes us want more poetry, you know?
And also, I believe that it makes people say, oh, my gosh, I've always felt that, but didn't have the courage to say it. So it's you're speaking for a lot of hearts. This is Nancy Mitchell, who is the Poet Laureate of Salisbury, Maryland, and I would like to hear another poem.
Okay, great. And, you know, and just speaking to that, when you mentioned that, you know, we're speaking for other people, we're witnessing. My second book was about people in addiction, and I was afraid to write these poems and didn't write them at all without their permission, didn't publish them, I wrote them. But afterwards, so many people came forward and said, thank you for telling me my story. Now I have the courage to tell my own. So that was really gratifying, but I risked a lot of talking about something that's been in the shadow of shame for so long.
This is why I believe the writer's life is an ethical life, because we're always making these decisions. You know, how much do we say? How much do we involve other people? It's a moral life. And here's Nancy Mitchell with her poems.
Okay.
Let's hear two.
All right. These are written from the out-of-body shop, from voices in the out-of-body shop that have found themselves there due to some kind of trauma that caused a disassociation. So,
terrific title.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, it's a great title because the body shop is such an American icon.
Yeah.
But the out-of-body.
The out-of-body
shop.
That's
where the poet lives.
Yeah, that's where the poet lives. And that's where a lot of these people, these persona ended up. And that's why this poem is Why I'm Here.
So you'll set them up for us.
Yes, yes. Why I'm Here. I have no clue. It was weird, yes, but I would say molested, not abused, like the one here who was raped repeatedly and caged, or that one over there chained to a radiator. But the technicians insist, in layman's terms, that it is always the initial primal, if you will, incident after which the connection to the body is intrinsically damaged. Think electrical cord. Think frayed. It's a culmination of subsequent, less significant incidents that cause the final, often irreparable, split. We all here want, hope to be fixed, but chances of a successful retrofit to the body depend upon remembering, most cases too far gone, the damage.
Oh, Nancy, that's breathtaking. You know, I read a woman who used to model nude.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that when she did this, she would just leave her body and not think about it so that people could look at her and paint her. But that's the first time I thought of that. And when your book came out and I saw that it was filled with these meditations, I think it's the first time it's been done. So let's hear another.
Friends here in the out-of-body shop, all we are now is floating text next to a thumbnail of the body we left. We reminisce on all the ways a warm body feels against another body, how voices sound so differently in fog than in the dark and day and everything the smell of rain changes. We try not to complain about the constant ache and to be grateful. We like each other. We have emojis.
Now, how would you like the reader to imagine those voices? How would you like that point of view to be seen?
I'm glad you asked that because when I heard about the memorial to the lynchings in Birmingham, of these just hanging pieces, I thought, this is how I would see, if it was an installation piece, I would see these, I could imagine just sort of these hanging pieces of maybe diaphanous cloth with recordings of the voices. When you pass them, they would be activated so that everyone is really kind of disembodied, and the way back to the body is to go back in and sift the past and haunt the ghost until they give it up, and then you assimilate it into your psyche again.
Oh, this is a definition for poetry.
And you're not really ever completely fixed, but, you know, it's a retrofit.
So all of us who have had trauma, mm-hmm. if we have, we have a way of reengaging ourselves.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
After the wound is closed.
I think after the wound, and, you know, I certainly, you know, Jungian psychology talks about how it's not cathartic really to write, but it's transformative. So whatever this is transformed out of your body into something else, like a poem, a piece of art, an aria.
Now I have to tell them who this beautiful person is who's sitting across from me. She's Nancy Mitchell, and she's a Pushcart Prize recipient, the author of several books, The Near Surround, Grief Hut, and The Out-of-Body Shop. She's co-editor of a really classy magazine, Plume Interviews. Well, actually, it's called The Plume Review, isn't it?
It's called Plume Poetry, yeah. And then
Danny Lawless,
yes,
and you
Danny
run
Lawless
that.
Is wonderful.
And that is one of the classiest magazines.
Oh, well, thank you.
And her poems have been in Agni, Green Mountains Review, Poetry Daily, Washington Square Review, Anthologized in Last Call, The Working Poet, and many more we'll talk about later. You know, Agni is like the top of Mount Olympus.
Yeah.
So when were you published there?
Oh, gosh, it was years ago, but I still, you know,
it's hard
tried.
To get in.
Yes, it
now.
Is hard to get in, but I
have
I was thrilled.
A Pulitzer Prize winning mm-hmm. poet who just wrote and mm-hmm. said, I got an Agni.
Oh, wow. That's so great.
I had two poems in 1968
wow.
when Agni was a Mimeo 20-page
wow.
stapled magazine. Nancy Mitchell's here, and here's a poem.
Driving past our married house. Ivy, you trained those 20 years along the trellis has run up to our old second-story window. Gutters, you slipped on the wet roof and broke your arm to clean, even after I warned you not to after the third drink. Now choke on muck of pine needle and maple leaf. Oh, your beloved boxwoods, green fist you planted when our son was 3, grown to his waist at 17, now list like drunks, spindly and brown, like an apple rotted from the inside out. You got such a kick out of telling our friends again and again what the cable guy said, brushing cobwebs from his hair after he'd belly crawled to the attic floor to lay line for our new TV. Damned if this is not the tightest house I've ever seen. How proud you were. How you beamed.
The reason I like that poem is because it's about loss
mm-hmm.
and the way you frame loss with such imagery and such action and such energy, but it's really about loss, which mm-hmm. is such an abstraction.
Mm-hmm.
That's the miracle. Keep going, Nancy, because I want everyone to hear
okay.
these poems, and the more the better.
Prayers reversed. You come back. Dishes dirty themselves and pile the sink. Closets open and clothes fling themselves like wives on husbands' funeral pyres to the floor in a heap. Our son throws a punch. Daughter screams bloody. Toast burns and the air stinks of cigar smoke rising from behind the business report you're reading. Slowly, I gather the car keys, my purse, passports, our will, and good silver. Shush the children and lure them with peeps from the TV's gleam before we slip out the back door, careful of the hinges creak.
You know the brilliance of that poem? Lured them with peeps.
Yeah.
That is perfect. That is perfect. It is so human. It is so real. And I think you have a couple more in that series.
I do. This one was kind of a moving away from this, moving away from the poems that preceded it, that life. Leaving. A scatter of shore lights as seen from a boat. Its rope slipped the last knuckled knot. Sail luffing, rag tatter, yawing into dark. A fallen galaxy. And so, you know, one of the ways into the out-of-body shop where all of these voices end up, every voice in this is looking back. And as you mentioned, trauma is so relative in a way. You know, everyone has suffered loss and trauma, and it's from the extreme, like the woman who said, the persona that read, "Why I'm Here." You know, it's like when you, you know, why I'm here among these people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why, but I ended up here. So.
Because to be born is to be human.
To suffer,
to be
yeah.
human is to feel pain.
Yes.
And to suffer, that is our great challenge, how to hold that and live with that.
Yeah.
And that is
yes.
our complete challenge in
right.
life. And the poet who addresses this is mm-hmm. really doing holy work.
Well, I like to think that, you know, it's very hard to write these poems and actually take the flack for writing them because it seems like I am interviewing this poet, and he said that he has his sense of privacy keeps him from writing about his life.
And, well, we'll never know.
Yeah.
We'll never know who he is.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I thought, do I have a lack of, is it lack of privacy or lack of decency? I ask myself sometimes because I think some people might think I go too far. But you
Nancy,
know,
I just was bowled over when I read your work. I thought, thank you.
Oh,
because
gosh.
You give permission for people to push the boundaries.
But this one was important to me to write. It was
the
kind
book.
Of, the book was important to me to write. And I didn't realize where I was going with it until the Me Too movement kind of started gaining steam. And I thought, gosh, look at this. And so I wrote this poem about this young girl who was molested by a school bus driver. And I think it's so common, so much more common than anyone realizes, that these people that seem benign and helpful, no one would, I think women always had a sense that you wouldn't be believed. Who would believe Mr. So-and-so? We trust him with our children to get them, you know, safely to and from school. So I wrote this, you know, a lot of times I don't want to go sound too woo-woo about it, but I think when you open yourself to speaking from another voice, that it's also other voices find you in a way. So
I completely believe that.
So
there's no, everyone knows that poets channel.
It's true.
Because when you go into that zone, a lot of things can happen.
Yeah.
This is Nancy Mitchell, and as I said, she is the poet laureate of Salisbury, Maryland, and that is on the Eastern Shore.
Yes.
It's a very beautiful place.
We live near Assateague Island, which is very beautiful, and I hope we'll see you there sometime
soon.
I
think you have been other places, though. I'm looking at your residencies at the Virginia Center for Creative Arts.
Yes.
And then France?
Oh, it was wonderful.
You got a residence in France?
Yeah, they have, VCCA has a residency in France it offers people, and it's wonderful. I was lucky enough to go twice, and it has my heart. The village life, everything about the way time slows down and how you can really be really present is so lovely to
me. Is that where you wrote this book?
I wrote part of the book there, yeah.
We'll go back to the
okay.
book because it is a profound collection of voices that are disembodied because of life situations that were so painful. But we've honored these voices in this book. So here's Nancy Mitchell. I'm Grace Cavalieri. We're at the Library of Congress.
Intake in voice. Triggering secondary incident. Female, fifth grade. School bus driver. Grandfatherly. Smelled of soap and rising dough. called her Chica Bonita, ask about books she liked. His hand, blue veins, skin thin as tracing paper, slid up her blouse, calloused edge of his thumb nicking her nipple. The whole time he was smiling. Typical symptoms, lightness of being, sense of shrinking. Exit point, black hole in his eye. God hole, she called it. Static, yes. Out of body shop, time unknown.
Terrific. Terrific. I really have not ever read a whole collection with this theme, and so let us hear another. This is The Poet and the Poem.
It's no fox, or you'd see the drag line into the woods and nothing left save a few feathers. It's a skunk that sucks the blood out, leaves the body to rot. Damn it, that hen don't look like she just lay down to sleep, her neck blood stuck with feed. And I, you know, the persona are indicated, although they're in the I voice, mainly first, you know, they're indicated by the idiosyncrasies in grammar and diction, you know, so that's how I tried to indicate, you know, the structure of the line and the conversational, the sort of vocabulary to indicate that.
So that each one has an identity.
Yes.
And that was with line length,
yes,
spacing.
Yes, and diction.
Tone.
Tone.
Word choice. I got that.
Yes, good.
That's because you have the craft as well as the gift. So line lengths are very important.
Yeah,
commas are very important. And give us another.
Into the out-of-body shop. I slipped on ice in the grocery store parking lot and rose like a helium party balloon, constellation of oranges against black asphalt ringing my fallen body. Passersby rally like ants around a scattered picnic. I float in a blizzard of static, embryonic, trailing a cut umbilical cord. I have no idea how long in sound booth silence.
I just want to show them another stripe in your life, and that is as an editor. No, not only as a professor, not only as a poet, not only as a poet laureate of a county, but you also are working with an online magazine. And many people ask me, what do you believe is the value of an online magazine in the whole scheme of poetry? What's the use? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it going to help? Is it going to?
I think it's great, to tell you the truth. And I have a lot of friends that are poets and are my age and have been publishing a long time, and they won't publish online. They just don't think it's the real deal. It's not print. So they, but you know, a journal like Plume, I think, as long as the journal is, it holds itself to really high standards in terms of craft and intention, that I know Plume has published some of the very best poets in our country and abroad, and it's so much more accessible to people. I mean, this is how we live now.
I am absolutely,
I'm totally a fan.
Completely behind the online movement.
Absolutely.
Because why we started radio in 77 for poetry was because we wanted to harness the medium. Why should somebody else own it? Well, now we have the internet. Why shouldn't we bring poetry to the greatest number of people? And Plume is a really, as I said, a class A magazine. It has only the best poets in it. And are you one of the people who choose the poems?
I don't. That's really
what
Danny
do?
Lawless is the editor. My job is I do interviews with special features. So I've done lots and lots of interviews, and the way I love to do it is, do you know the movie My Dinner with Andre?
Yes.
That's probably my
yes, I do.
favorite movie. So, you know, I send a salvo question and we go back and forth and just spin off on where we go. And most people are really agreeable to that.
And you don't have to worry about space.
Don't have to worry about space. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's enough space. And then we put feature the poems that we're talking about, a lot like we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. I mean, I've had so many interesting encounters, and most people really like it.
I think paper will always be with us, though, don't you think?
I do. I think, you know, I like the tactile very much, and I think that's wonderful. And Plume puts out an anthology once a year, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with, you know, Plume, where I live, no one could get Plume the journal. You know, we don't have bookstores that carry.
And that's it. They will not distribute it, and you get 200 copies.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
Yeah,
now, this will go on forever until someone unplugs it.
That's true.
Nancy Mitchell is with us. This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. She's done a really record-breaking book by capturing the voices of people who have left their bodies for whatever reason, and mostly for trauma or things not of their own choosing. So here's Nancy with another poem.
Obituary. Shot of scotch, hit of weed, mostly stems and seeds. Is that fog stalled on the pond or smoke? And the farther geese flung ash and the nearer cinders? There on the dock, a heron folding into itself? Or is it a blown newspaper split? Your face halved.
That is gorgeous, because that is sonic. You have really used your vowels and your syllables there. That is music, that poem. And hard to read, because you have put words together, juxtaposed closely together. But I love that one.
Well, thank you.
Before we go to our final poem,
okay,
I do want to ask you one thing about your teaching, and that is, what do you see in your students at Salisbury University that you did not see when you were a university student? What is the difference? Do you teach writing?
I taught creative writing and poetry workshops at Salisbury University for a couple of decades. Right now, I'm teaching in the Center for Extended and Lifelong Learning at Salisbury, which is mainly for retired adults.
What do you feel that the young people are doing now that is like us and not like us?
I am amazed at how savvy they are with social media, how savvy they are with submitting and submittable, and how really ambitious and confident they are in a way that my students weren't. And I'm wondering if I was, you know, we didn't encourage them when they were undergrads to go out there and publish. But there's a wonderful poet at Salisbury, John Nieves, terrific poet, and he actually, I guess I can say, took the job that I had, but, you know, he didn't replace
me. Oh, he's the poet in residence, actually.
He actually is a tenured professor, but what's fascinating to me is the way that he encourages his students to go out there and make a name for yourself now. And they are just amazing. I mean, I can remember we were more intimidated. When I went to school, I think we were intimidated. Even when I was in graduate school, I think there was not that push to publish in a way. But it's not a push in a way. It's encouragement to go ahead and find your footing now. And I'm impressed with that. I'm awed. If you look at so many of the really good journals there, the editors
I didn't publish until I was in my mid-30s.
Yeah, I didn't until much later. And,
let us, you know. I have heard that you have some new poems.
I do.
So let us end with a new poem.
Okay, excellent. This one is, I've become really interested in utero experiences, and I recently had a poem published at the American Journal of Poetry, right, edited by Robert Nazarene online. This one, what was interesting about it was I was looking through the rest of the contributors, and I noticed that there was another poet, Philip Freed, who'd written a poem about in utero, an experience. So I've been doing a lot of research on that. So it's
there's no stopping you, Nancy.
Well, it's just interesting to me.
You go places no one will go. Thank you. Let's hear it.
blame my mother if I could, but the cocktail hour was de rigueur in the 50s. If you don't believe me, go read Cheever. Umbilical tethered, defenseless fist of fin and gills I twisted in placental gin. At 5, first tipsy inch of whiskey, Daddy tumbled into my silver baby cup. Cheers! Dizzy, laughing monkey bars spinning and falling from the stars. The beaded spiral, my birthright, my own DNA stairway to heaven.
The voice of Nancy Mitchell. The program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions, post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making this program possible. Funding is provided by the Reva and David Logan Foundation and the Snippet Fund. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.